every week, I'm so thankful I get to participate, engage in worship, and I don't have to lead it because I'm gosh awful vocally and instrumentally. It's a powerful 1-2 punch. I can't do either of them. So this past week, I just want to thank our staff and our team. I was able to take last Sunday off, and it went off without a hitch because it's not about me. I'm not the core here of Vertical Church. It's all of us as a body. And last Sunday was awesome. The band did fantastic. All of you serving were phenomenal. Pastor David, hopefully you got to meet him a little bit, one of my biggest mentors in life. He's meant a ton to Kaylin, my wife, and myself. And he did a fantastic job talking about tuning yourself to Jesus. And so this past week, I got to go on vacation, and I had an epiphany. I've made a decision, a revelation, really, as some would call it. It was a Tuesday night on vacation, and I was sitting in the basement of our beach house as a hurricane is coming through because, I mean, it's 2020, right? I mean, what else do you expect on vacation? So your boy is going through a hurricane. And then to top it off, because, you know, I'm tough. I've got faith. Ain't no hurricane stopping this boy. So as we're sitting there hanging out as a family, there's like, we go as a big family with Kaylin's family, with my wife. We go down there. There's like 12 or 13 of us down there. So we're hanging out in the house, and all of our phones, like 7, 8 phones, all start blaring. You know, when the weather alert goes off, they all start going off at once. And we're like, it's probably, you know, just the hurricane stuff. And they're like, imminent tornado, take shelter now. And so we're like, golly, dare you give me a hurricane, tornadoes, enough's enough. So I'm sitting in the basement. We're all down there together. The small children are you know, a little upset. And I've just had it. I've just decided I've had enough with 2020. And I've decided this. I'm breaking up with 2020. I'm calling 2020, and we're going out to have the talk at dinner. I'd sit down before the appetizer. I'm not waiting. I would just look 2020 right in the eye, and I said, I've tried. I've tried to make this work, but it's not. It's not working. We're done. And just to be really clear, it's not me. It's you. It's you, 2020. This one's all on you. I've done my best, but we're through. So on vacation in 2020, I've decided I'm breaking up with 2020. I've had enough of the year. So 2021, your boy's back on the table. I'm free game. So let's see how 2021 goes, because me and 2020, we're not going to make it as a couple. But anyway, back from vacation, it was a great time to get away, because honestly, attitude's a choice. It is. If you haven't figured that out, attitude's a choice. So my choice was, even though it was raining and stormy and we got to go on the beach one day total, I still had a good time with my family. They're great people, and I enjoyed it. So we're starting a new series this week. And it's called Wells. And so some of you may have walked in and go, that may be the most uninspiring title to a sermon series I've ever heard. And, well, one, I'm not super creative with that, so that's one reason. But two, as I pray through messages and sermons, and what do you, I just always ask God, what do you want me to talk on? What do you want to talk on? It's not an overly complicated process of what I go through to go through sermons or messages. What do you want to talk on? And he just immediately gave me a word. Sometimes he'll give me a word, a Bible verse, a phrase. And this time it was just a word. He said, I want you to talk on wells. And I was like, uh-huh. Anything going to follow that or just the word? He's like, just the word. Okay, delightful. That's going to be a rousing message for the people, I'm sure. That's going to be fantastic. So I do what I do. If he gives me a word, I start researching the word. I start looking in Scripture, hoping that some kind of revelation will drop. And as I'm praying through the word, wells, I see, as I was praying through it after days, it finally, about midweek, the week before I left for vacation, started to come together. And I go, okay, I see where you're going with this, Lord. And he's like, yes, I knew the whole time. So just have faith. So last time we went through a series, Leave No Doubt. How many of you guys were here for the series, Leave No Doubt? Hopefully, it was a great series for you guys. I know it was challenging to me. And so now we're starting a new series, Wells. But see, and then Leave No Doubt, we were all New Testament, right? New Testament. If you've been here for a while, Chaboy likes the Old Testament. And so guess where we're going today? Old Testament. Let's go. Somebody get excited. Some of you are already scared of like, oh, dear. I know in the Old Testament, people get slaughtered. It's weird. It gets a little funky in the Old Testament, but we're going to be okay. So why don't you turn to Numbers, the book of Numbers. I don't know when's the last time you heard somebody give a message out of the book of Numbers. You know what I'm saying? But that's where we're going today. Numbers 32. Numbers 32, if you want to turn there, that'd be great on your Bible app, or maybe you brought your Bible. If not, that's okay. We got it up on the screen. Can we get up for our tech team? They're hiding in the bunker. They appreciate our tech team. They do a great job. Hopefully, if you're watching online, you clap for the tech team because they're the main reason that's happening for you today, because I know nothing that's happening as far as technology. And so Numbers 32, verse 1, it says this: "The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders of the community and said, 'Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elah, Sebam, Nebo, and beyond.'" I thought y'all would clap because I did pretty good on that. I know. All right, let's pray and go home, okay? And so, "The land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock." They're like trying to pull one over on Moses like he doesn't know what's going on. They're like, "Look here, Moses." They're talking to him like he's a three-year-old. Moses, we have livestock. We've got livestock. Look at the land, Moses. Moses, the land. It's suitable for livestock." And Moses is like, "Yeah, no, I get it." Okay, so now they're talking to Moses like he's a three-year-old. Bold strategy, in case you're wondering. They said, "Let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." So the context of this is God has answered the prayer of the Israelites and brought them out of slavery of Egypt, one of the most powerful kingdoms at the time. God's brought them out of Egypt, and now they're going to the promised land. He said, "I'm not going to take you just out of slavery. I'm going to deliver you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a wonderful place. We're going to go there." And so what ends up happening is the Israelites lose faith along the way. We're going to see that. And they get stuck in the wilderness. And now they're on the way. And before they have to, they've got to cross the Jordan, a big river, to get into the promised land. And now the Reubenites and Gadites, they look at Moses and have the audacity to say, "Don't make us go to the promised land. Don't make us go over the promised land. Look, Moses, the land. The land, it's suitable for livestock. And that's what we've got. So this is where we want to be." What they've essentially told Moses is, "Moses, we want to settle for less spiritually. We want to settle for less," because why? They've not physically seen the promised land yet, right? But they can physically see this land that's not what God has for them, that's not what he's intended them, but this is what we can trust in. I can trust what I can tangibly see and control. And so, Moses, this is the land we want. They want to settle for less than what God has for them. And see, If you were going to possess the land, if you were going to control the land, if this is where they were going to settle, one of the things in this time of the Old Testament they would do is they would build wells. Why? Because remember, Moses, three-year-old Moses, we've got livestock that's suitable. We've got large flocks and herds. And so he'd build wells because you've got large flocks and herds. They need water. And so they would build wells. And see, in that time, one scholar put it this way. They said, "To own a well and to possess the surrounding country were synonymous terms." Synonymous terms. So if you own the well, not only could you take care of your large herds and flocks, it would also mean that well means this is your marker, that you possess the surrounding country. And so that means if they settled in this land, the land that God didn't promise, that God didn't call them to, they were going to go build wells to say, "This is the land we possess." And so they would have built wells in a land where they settled for less. Verse 6, "Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, 'Should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly.'" If you're highlighting or underline that wholeheartedly. "Not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone." I mean, Moses lays into them. One, probably because they were very demeaning to him. He's probably a little fired up. But he just lays into them because he's already been with them. He's already had a doggone wander the desert 40 years, and he knows what's about to happen. He's like, "I've seen this once. I don't know if I got another 40 years in me, people. Do not do this. And he just torches them. He lays into them. He says, your fellow generation before you was not following the Lord wholeheartedly, caused us to wander in the desert for 40 years until they were wiped out. And now we finally get to move to the promised land. And what are you doing? You're doing the same thing. You're not trusting the Lord. You're seeing what you see physically. It's the same thing your fellow generation before you did. They trusted what they could see physically and not spiritually, and they settled for less, and you're going to do the same thing. So he just lays into them. And then he says this, after he lays into them, because they basically, what he tells them is, you have the blessing passed to you. They passed the blessing. The blessing that was meant for you, the previous generation, has been passed to you. Of the promised land. They didn't get it. They were wiped out in the wilderness for 40 years. And so he says, the blessing is resting on you, and what you're about to do is the same thing the previous generation did. And here you are, a brood of sinners. I mean, harsh words. I mean, he's just torching them verbally. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all his people in the wilderness, and you will be the cause of their destruction. My gosh, I mean, he just gets after them. And so after Moses has just absolutely railroaded these people for what they've done, let's look at how they respond. Verse 16, then they came up to him and said, we would like to build pens here for our livestock in cities for the women and children. Did you not hear a word I just said to you? Are you not listening? See, this is the verse, Numbers 32, verse 16. This is the verse where I'm convinced Moses was completely bald. Not Philip, 30 years old, receding hairline. Moses is done. If you ever wondered why 50% of pastors are people in ministry are bald, Numbers 32, 16 right here, okay? And so I'm convinced Moses, he's got nothing left at this point. His stress is through the roof. He's wandered the desert for 40 years because people weren't obedient. He's dealing with it again. He's had enough. After he just lays into them, all the response is, yeah, no, we heard you. We still want to build pens for our large herds and flocks. Just unfazed, unfazed. Verse 17, but we will arm ourselves for battle and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until each of the Israelites has received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan. So not only are they going to settle for less spiritually than what God has for them, they're willing to go fight so the Israelites can go get everything God has promised for them. Well, and what kind of backwards world is that? They said, we'll arm ourselves for battle. Watch verse 20. Then Moses said, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves for a battle for before the Lord for battle, and if all of you who are armed cross over the Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free of your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. And this land will be your possession before the Lord. So Moses is clear, okay, I've had enough of you people. If you want to be left behind in this land and not get to the promised land, that's fine. You've got to fight, just like the Lord called us to go to the spiritual promised land, to the land we're taking you. You'll go fight. You'll go make sure everyone else gets the inheritance that God has for them. Then you can come back to your place where you've settled for less spiritually. So that's what they agree to do. We'll go fight. We'll go leave our women and children and families and our large herds and flocks. That's fine. We'll go fight so that you can get all the promises of God, but we'll settle for less over here. And so the first question that we've got to ask ourselves is, have we settled for less spiritually? Have you ever stopped and thought, have I settled for less spiritually than what God has for me? Has there ever come a point in your life where you finally got to a land that looked suitable, that looked comfortable, that you thought, surely this is where God wants me spiritually because it's comfortable, and you settled for less than what God has for you? You see, verse 20 says, then Moses said, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle. See, here's the thing. God calls us to things so many times spiritually, but in order to take that land, to expand our territory spiritually, it's going to cost us something. We're going to have to be aggressive. We're going to have to fight for it. Things don't come to you spiritually when you're passive, when you're unintentional. And so Moses says, if you'll do it, if you'll go fulfill your obligation, that's fine. I want you to take this Old Testament story here and put it in some New Testament context. Ephesians 6:12 says this. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, maybe this terminology or the phrasing is odd or bizarre to you. Maybe you've never heard about having spiritual territory. But see, here's the thing. God did not save you. God did not call you, if you are a Christian, to be a trophy up on a shelf. God doesn't have a trophy shelf up in heaven. He's like, look. I saved this person in Blairsville, Georgia, 1995. Looks real good, doesn't it? Unimpressed? Okay, what about this? I saved this woman here in Blairsville, Georgia, 1997. Huh? Look at that. So many times that's how we can become an active of God saved us, we're good, and we're just this trophy for his shelf. No. God has called you not just in your salvation, but for a purpose, for a plan, and it is not to be passive in the ways of the kingdom. Ephesians 6 tells this, says we are actually fighting spiritual battles. But how many of us actually feel like we're living that? I mean, if some of us are honest, I mean, do we even think about spiritual lands and promises and wells and fighting for the things of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven? If that tension doesn't exist in your life, if you don't feel like I'm having to maybe go out and fight for the Lord, to be intentional to the things he's called me to, that could be one of your first red flags that you've settled for less spiritually. You may have settled for less spiritually than what God has for you. God did not save you. God did not call you for a small plan or purpose or just to be a trophy up on his shelf. And it's why it's so important to me that as Vertical Church, we understand that we're a body. The New Testament tells us we're a body. We have different skills, talents, and gifts. And see, if you believe that you are unimportant in the kingdom of God, if you believe my skills don't matter much, that I can't make much of a contribution, God must have saved me, but I'm a bench warmer at best, that mentality affects all of us. That mentality affects all of us. You see, when God calls you, put it this way. So remember, if you were in here for Leave No Doubt, one of the series, we went over how Jesus was betrayed, flogged, mocked, beaten, crucified, right? That same Jesus, would you ever go up to Jesus and look at him and go, I'm insignificant? The man who's betrayed, flogged, mocked, beaten, and crucified, would you try to tell him the price you paid for me? You overpaid. When you try to say that your calling or your purpose is insignificant or next to nothing, you have to be ready to look Jesus in the eye and tell him you think he overpaid. See, I believe every last one of us has a clear, defined purpose in the kingdom of God, and that is to take land spiritually. Amen. We're not called to be passive and to sit back in the ways of the kingdom of heaven, but we're able to take land. See, that's why it's so important to me that we come together as a body. Because here at Vertical Church, let me tell you something, we have zero intention of being passive in the ways of the kingdom. If you are going to attend, if you're going to be part of Vertical Church, I fully believe our church is called to come throw spiritual haymakers for the kingdom of God. We're not going to be passive. We're not going to sit back. We're going to look at the Word of God and go, what does it call us to? And then we're going to be aggressive in those things. Because if God has given us breath, if God has given us life right now, we are called to go take land spiritually. We're not going to sit back. We're not going to come and be inward focused only. There is land out there spiritually that is in darkness right now. There are people who are walking around in darkness who don't know Jesus, who don't have hope, and we have the answer. What does the New Testament call us to? To be light to the darkness, to be salt to the earth. That is an action. That's a verb. I am terrible at grammar, but I know verbs are actions. You can tell a dead church by whether they act like they're a thing or a place or it's an action. If you come to Vertical Church, I will always be looking for us to be in action. So maybe you have shown up, maybe you've been coming here 3.5 years, maybe you've been here longer than me, or maybe this is your first time. I want to make it so clear to you that at Vertical Church, we want you to be part of the body. Why? Because, yeah, if we just all showed up and we just watched the staff do Christian things, we'll hit hard for the kingdom. I believe in our staff. We've got a great staff. We've got a great team here. But let me tell you something. We'll hit a heck of a lot harder for the kingdom if there's hundreds of people who step into their calling and their gifts and the purposes that God has for them. That's why I believe in you. I believe in the callings and the gifts and the things that God has put inside of you to make a difference for the kingdom. And so the first question we have to ask is, have we settled for less spiritually than what God has for us? And the second question is, why are we talking about wells? Well, remember, wells are the marker that you possess the surrounding country, right? Remember that from earlier? If they were going to reside there, if they were going to make that land, they would put wells. They would dig wells or take over the possessing wells, and that's what would feed water to their flocks and herds and their people, because in case you're one of your bodies made up of like 80% water, you would need water to survive as a person. Some of you have not understand that, and you've been perpetually dehydrated for like 40 years. And so news breaks some science there for you. You need water. So they would build that, but it would also, that well would be a marker that you possess the surrounding country, right? So if you wanted to take land from someone else, what would you go do? You take their well. So where have you planted your wells spiritually? Where have you planted your wells spiritually? Here's the thing. If you've settled for less, if we're people who have settled for less than what God has for us, if we've not stepped in to use our gifts and callings and talents, if we try to tell God that we're insignificant, that we're not being able to be used for the kingdom, and we've settled for less, where are our wells? They're where the Reubenites and Gadites would have built them, in a land that we thought was the right place because we could see it. But those Reubenites and Gadites, every time they went to that well to feed their large herds and their large flocks, every time they got a bucket out of that well, that water was less than what God had called for them. And so to each time you and I settle for less than where God wants us to be spiritually, and we plant our wells, every time we go to them, rather than being anointed and blessed in everything that God has for us, when we've settled for less spiritually, we start drawing from wells that's less than what God had for us. We start drawing from wells that aren't in the places they should be. We start pulling things up like envy, pride, gluttony, selfishness. Because those wells have been planted in a land that God never intended for us to settle in. And you may be thinking, Philip, I know you went through a hurricane this past week, but I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Spiritual lands, what the heck are you talking about with wells? That makes no sense. I'm using some terminology that you never heard before. That's fine. I want to ask you a question here. This will help you kind of understand what I'm talking about. If you had one hour and your life depended on you hearing from the Lord, you had 1 hour and your life depended on you hearing the Lord speak to you, what would you do? What would you do? If you had 1 hour and you had to hear from God on something, what would you do? And if your first answer is, I have absolutely no idea, that's okay. That's okay. The first step for us to move forward, to make sure we don't settle for less, to make sure we plant our wells in the right spot, is to maybe understand we don't have any. That's okay. But maybe you go, man, Philip, if I had 1 hour to hear from the Lord, I would absolutely get in my car, go drive, and I'd go on a hike. I would disconnect from everything. I would go on a hike, and I would just be praying on that hike. God, I need you to speak to me. That's a well. That's a place where you go to draw strength from the Lord. Maybe you go, I would close the door to my room, I would turn on worship music, and I would start singing, I would start praying, because I need to hear from... That's a well. That's a well. Maybe you go, Philip, I know I've memorized one Bible verse. It's my favorite Bible verse. It's the one I know. I'd open up the Word, and I would just read that Bible verse. I'd pray that Bible verse. That's a well. That's a well. That's somewhere you go to draw your spiritual strength from. But see, if you've planted that well somewhere where the God has not intended you to be spiritually, you're not going to reap the spiritual rewards of everything He has for you. And so we've got to first ask ourselves, God, am I where I need to be spiritually? God, if I let you position me spiritually where I need to be to make the biggest impact for the kingdom of heaven. That's the first thing we've got to ask, because if we're in the wrong spot spiritually, all our wells have been planted in a place where we settled for less. And the second thing is we've got to know our wells. We've got to know our wells. Why? Because the New Testament is super clear that we all, as Christians, have an enemy who roams around like a lion looking to steal, kill, and destroy, looking to devour us, it tells us. He's described as a thief. He's described as a roaring lion. There's an enemy spiritually that's looking to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And if we all, as Christians, have spiritual territory, and we're called to advance the territory, well, who are you taking it from? Who are you taking territory from if we're called to advance the kingdom, to be light to the darkness? You have an enemy. And see, if we don't know our wells, if we don't know our spiritual territory, it doesn't change the fact that it exists, that it's real. Just because we don't know where it's at doesn't make it not real. And see, if we don't know our wells, how can we ever defend them? If you don't know your wells, how can you ever defend them? See, God may have called you to spiritual promised lands, and those wells exist for you spiritually, but if you don't know where they're at, if you've not gotten where God has called you to, who is possessing the land? The enemy. The enemy. Ephesians 6, remember, we don't fight against people. We have a spiritual battle. So in your spiritual life right now, you have wells, prayer, fasting, worship, whatever it is that you're looking to draw your strength from, and you have an enemy that wants to make sure you don't possess that well. He's going to absolutely look to rob that territory from you, because why? Every time you're in the spiritual land that God has called you to, and you're drawing from that well, that water's blessed. That water is life-changing. That water is everything that God has intended you to have. And your enemy does not want you to have that. We can't defend wells that we don't know exist. That's why this church, why have we started fasting? Because it's cool, it's hip. Heck no, Chiboy likes breakfast on Fridays. But we're going to fast as a church. Why? Because biblically we're told that's a well. That's a well. And not only are we going to call it a well, not only are we going to step into that, we're going to look to defend that well. That's why if you want to participate on Friday mornings, we fast together as a church. Why? Because we know that's a well, and over our dead body will the enemy take that from us. That's why when we show up on Sunday morning and we look to worship, we're not looking to hopefully just hear great songs. We want to engage in worship. Why? Because when you have an expectation, that determines your engagement. Your expectation determines your engagement, and your engagement dictates your encounter. There's two different types of people that will walk in on Sunday mornings or online. There's one, a group of people who are going, I hope I hear my favorite song. Hope I can maybe sing along. And there's a second group of people who believe when that band starts playing, there's going to be worship, and I believe the Lord's going to move. And those two people worship very differently. Those two people had a different expectation, and it has led them to a different level of engagement. You may just be singing songs, or you may be worshiping the Lord who you believe is going to break chains today, who's going to change lives today. Those two people will worship differently. So when you walk in the building on a Sunday morning, are you ready to defend the well of worship because you're expecting to meet with the Lord? That's why we look to be a church that gets into the Word of God. Why? Because that's a well. We're going to draw our strength from the Word of God. The New Testament tells us the Word of God is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So you've got to ask yourself, one, God, have I settled for less spiritually? And then two, where are my wells? Where are my wells, God? Where am I drawing my strength? Some of them are basic for all Christians. The Bible, prayer, worship, fasting, those are all wells that we should all possess as a Christian just according to Scripture. But if we don't know where they're at, we can never defend them. And if we're called to take land spiritually, to advance the kingdom spiritually, the first thing we've got to be able to do is to defend our own wells. If we want to gain ground spiritually, we can't be losing it. And I get it. This message may be weird or outside the box for you. Maybe you need to go back to listen to it again. That's okay. That's okay. But let me tell you something. It's nice to talk about, hey, let's be a church where we come out and we throw spiritual haymakers. Let's do that. Let's take land for the kingdom of God. Let's go be great for the kingdom of God. That's great. It's a nice rah-rah message, but we've got to know how. We've got to know how. And the first thing we've got to do is make sure we don't settle for less spiritually. The thing that will absolutely erode us as a church is a bunch of people who don't believe God has a powerful calling on their life. One of the ways you can test yourself to think if you believe God can work through you in a mighty way is, let me ask these questions. If someone gets saved at Vertical Church, who gets the credit? The parking team or the children's ministry? If someone gets baptized at Vertical Church, who gets the credit, the worship band or the tech team? If someone walks in and they're dealing with an addiction like pornography and they step out and they go from darkness to light and say, hey, I need help. I need help with this right now. Can someone walk with me out from this darkness to light? I don't want to deal with this anymore. Who gets the credit? The staff? The welcome team? If you remember Philippians 4 says this. Paul was writing to the Philippian church, and one of the things he said was, I don't have a need anymore, but I want more to be credited to your account. To your account. The Philippian church, he was telling us, had an account that he wanted God to send credit to for what they were doing spiritually. And see, so many times when someone gets saved or they get baptized or we see God move, so many times it's easy to go, well, yeah, the pastor's doing his job, the staff's doing their job. That absolutely robs our church of the credit. Our church doesn't exist for the staff. This church does not exist for me. This church exists for Jesus. And we want to do things that will gain credit into our account to exalt him. And we won't gain any credit if we won't step out into the things he's called us to do because we don't believe we can make a difference. And so maybe you tell yourself, well, the parking team doesn't make a difference. The welcome team really doesn't make a difference. Why? Why? Who's the first people you encounter when you pull up to Vertical Church? Parking team. Parking team sets the tone for what is your Vertical Church experience going to be like. When you come in the door, maybe you're doubting, is this church really friendly? Do people actually even really want me here? Does Jesus even care about me? And you're met with people who are super excited you're here. Maybe you've walked in a little sleepy and the coffee team says, let me bless you. Maybe you need a little sugar boost. Here's some donuts. Maybe you need a 1-2 punch of both. You start dipping the donuts in the coffee. That's something powerful and potent. But if we don't come together as a body and believe that we can all come together, to work together, to throw spiritual haymakers, to take ground for the kingdom, this church will settle for less than what God has for us. And I just won't have it. Our staff won't have it. Our leadership won't have it. The core volunteers and team of our church won't have it. Why exist as a church if you're not going to throw spiritual haymakers for the kingdom of God? Why exist? This world doesn't need another church to fill as many seats as we can, to have a nice speaker and a nice band. It's not what this world needs. This world needs a group of people who have come together collectively to go, we have a calling to make a difference, to take ground spiritually for the kingdom of God, to defend our wells, to go after the lost, the broken, the hurting. We will be used by God to be light to the darkness, and we'll do it together. That's why we exist. As soon as that doesn't happen, we should close the doors. We should go home. But as long as we exist and believe that God wants to work in and through us to make a difference to this world, come on. Come on, Vertical Church is the home for you. If you want to roll up your sleeves and go, I have a calling on my life that God wants to use me to be light to the darkness, salt to the earth, we hope you found your home at Vertical Church. See, here's the thing. Why do we want campus? Why do we want other people? Because let me tell you something. 4,000 people swinging for the kingdom hits harder than 400. 400 people swinging for the kingdom hits a whole lot harder than 40. If it's all we have, is it all we have, 40, I guarantee we will swing hard with 40. But we'll hit harder with 400. We'll hit harder with 4,000. One of the things the Lord challenged me with a year ago is I want to get to the end of my life, and I want to have laid my life down and lived for the Lord and answered on the things that he's called me to so clearly that the enemy goes, thank goodness we're done with him. Thank goodness we're done with him. And I want somebody in the background to go, yeah, but what are we going to do with all the people that were walking with him? See, it's not about me. It's not about Phil Kite. I hope I'm forgotten 100 years from now. But I surely hope that the way the Lord has used my life and made an impact will be felt 100 years from now. So that's our invitation as a church. Do we want to live our life that way? That when each and every one of us finally goes home, the enemy finally says, thank goodness we're done with them. Thank goodness we're done with them. And the enemy still has to go, yeah, but what are we going to do with all the people they've made an impact for? Because 50 years from now, I pray that the Lord has used Vertical Church to make resounding, unchangeable movement for Jesus. That 50 years from now, the momentum that the Lord has used to build spiritually cannot be stopped. And it will start right now with a group of people who will refuse to settle for less spiritually. It will start with a group of people who refuse to give up our wells, who will defend them and protect them. So the first question we've got to ask as a church is, have we settled for less spiritually in our own life? Have we settled for less than what God has for me? And secondly, where are my wells? Where are my wells? Where do I draw my strength from the Lord? And maybe you don't have any. It's a great time to start digging. It's no better today than today to start digging a new well spiritually. Maybe you've never fasted before. Jump in with us on Friday mornings. Fast with us. Maybe you've never gotten around other believers and really grown your faith. Jump into a community group. Maybe you've never really shown up ever thinking worship really changes the atmosphere in the room. Show up next Sunday. Or how about this invitation song coming up? And believe that God is going to move in the room. Maybe it's time that we start digging new wells as a church. The last thing about wells is they would actually cover them. And they'll tell me because they didn't want animals or dust to collect in there because it would pollute the water. And here's the thing is wells are not just for us. Wells are not just for us. I want you to view your life and your spiritual land as wells. When other people come into them, that's what you have to offer, is the water from your well. So if you've settled for less spiritually, the water you're going to offer out of your well is coming somewhere the Lord never intended it to be. So it's not just affecting us when we've settled for less. It's not just affecting us when our wells are in the wrong place. It's affecting those the Lord has brought into our life. That's why this is so critical for us to get right at moving forward, is to make sure we've not settled for less spiritually and we plant our wells in the right spots. Because other people are going to enter in our life, and they need to find a living water. A living water that can change their life. Here's the thing. I wouldn't give this message if I didn't believe we could do it. I've been here just over a year and a half, and I have no doubt in my mind that this church can absolutely make a difference for the kingdom of God. We've already been doing it. And we're not going to stop. And so my prayer is that you will find a home where you can throw spiritual haymakers the rest of your life. That you can step into the calling that God has for you to make a difference spiritually. Because Jesus was not betrayed, flogged, mocked, beaten, and crucified for you to be passive spiritually. He paid a heavy price to honor the Lord, but also because he believed he could work in and through your life to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So the band wants to come back up. We're going to close out. I want us to ask two questions of ourselves. One, God. Don't ask this question with me. Ask it with the Lord. Lord, have I settled for less spiritually? Have I become complacent? Or have I settled for less because I thought I can't do better? I don't have the skills or gifts or talents to be used for you, Lord. And then secondly, God, where are my wells? God, do I need to dig a new well? Is there something I need to dig out spiritually? Not to just draw strength from you, but also to be able to offer it to those you've got around me. I fully believe in the Lord and his ability to work through this church. We've had a hard couple months. Things look a little differently now. But my belief in what God wants to do in and through this church has not wavered one second. It's not wavered one second. His calling, his plan, his purpose for Vertical Church has not changed. Our ceiling to make an impact for the kingdom of God has not changed. And each and every one of us get to decide, do we want to be a part of what God wants to do with this church? He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. It's for each and every one of us. I love this church. I believe in this church. I believe in what God wants to do through your life. So let's spend this song asking the Lord, have I settled for less spiritually than what you want for me? Have I sold the gifts and talents and things you placed in my life short of the impact you can make? Have I got wells in the wrong place, Lord? Am I drawing my strength from the wrong areas? And then we're just going to invite Holy Spirit to move, to speak into your life in a personal way. Let's pray. Lord, we believe that you are alive, that you are active, that you are not done. We believe that you want to take ground spiritually, that you want us to be light to the darkness, that you want us to throw spiritual haymakers, that you want us to defend the wells spiritually. We believe that you have a calling on this church to make a difference for the kingdom of God, to honor you above all, Jesus. We pray that at the end of our days, God, the credit in our account will be so well-pleasing to you, Lord, because we follow through on what you called us to. Lord, I pray that we'll leave no doubt that we love you, Jesus, that we exist for you. Maybe you are engaging with the message or you're in the building today and you realize you've never given your life to Christ. You've never taken any ground spiritually because you don't follow Jesus, but the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you know right now, I need to get right with Jesus. This is your time. This is your moment to step out into new spiritual territory. Say, God, please forgive me for the sins that I've committed. God, come in and light my life. Lead and guide me. Be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, move. lead us and guide us in all that we do. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.